Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we stop and reflect upon the readings of the day. During the season of Lent, it calls us to a time of introspection, a time of spiritual growth. And I pray through the season of Lent, you would take time to reflect upon God's word. Allow it to come into your life. Pray that the Spirit would open your ears to hear and allow that word to take root and to bear much fruit as you walk daily with our Lord. Now we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your beloved Son, you have made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ, that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our gospel reading for this day is the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. This comes after Peter's confession that Jesus is the Messiah. And then it begins. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and after three days rise again. He said all this quite openly. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with the disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's text really is a challenging one in the sense of it calls us to something we're not used to. It calls us to think about others more than ourselves. In our world and in our culture, we're taught we need to be concerned about our own self. If you don't look after your own interests, nobody else will. And there's something that seems probably just innate within us that calls us to be sort of a little selfish. A Bible study program I did years ago uses a bunch of images and symbols. And the symbol that they would use for sin was a person and an arrow that came out of the person and then pointed back to the person. The notion of sin being that when we center just on ourself, that's where sin takes its root. If you think about it, even a lot of little children, one of the first words that they learn to speak is mine, right? Particularly if they have older siblings, they get very good at going, mine, this is mine, that we want that. But our text today challenges all of that, wants us to see beyond ourselves and what it is that we are called to do as we follow Jesus. You would think Peter would get some kudos, right? If you look at this text, if you back up just a little bit, what you get is Peter's confession. Jesus asks the question, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples answered, Well, some say Elijah. Others say a prophet. And then Jesus goes on, but who do you say that I am? And in many ways, Peter gives the right answer, but he doesn't understand. He goes, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He's essentially saying, Jesus, you are the anointed one. You are the promised one. You are the one for whom we were waiting. The one whom God said that God would send. In some ways, the words are right, but the understanding is wrong. It's almost like he has kind of blinders on. Because in some ways, when he says, you are the Messiah, I'm almost sure what Peter is thinking about is, yes, here's the one who's going to come and take charge. Here's the one who's going to be like King David and be able to come and rally everybody together to be able to kick Rome out. Because at times I think we forget Israel's living in an occupied land. They don't control their own destiny. And they want to be their own independent nation. And how can they do that? They're waiting for God to raise somebody up to lead them, to be able to be that new King David, that new person who's going to establish the nation of Israel in its own sovereignty. The Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one. They thought that's what they were going to do. But Jesus wants them to see it in a different way. Yes, Peter says, you are the Messiah. But Jesus begins to teach them, and he says something very different. He says, the Son of Man must undergo suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed. And then on the third day, rise again. Peter's going, No, Jesus. I think you got that wrong. The Messiah is to be like King David. Jesus is going, no, the Son of Man, the Messiah, is come to be not like King David, but like what the prophet Isaiah talked about in the suffering servants, the one who is bruised for their iniquity. Right? The one who is beaten. Jesus, as the Son of Man, comes and will be abused and will be killed. Peter goes, no, that's not what's supposed to happen. And notice what happens. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. He rebukes Peter. Peter, the one who just moments earlier said, you are the Messiah. The confession of who this person Jesus is. And now Jesus is saying, get behind me, Satan. What a quick turn of events. And I think a lot of it has to do with the perception, the lenses through which Peter is looking at what it means to be the Messiah. Because Jesus wants to teach us something else. He's saying the Messiah is the one who's going to come and redeem and reconcile the world back to God. But it happens not by force or power. But it comes through suffering and death. It turns the world upside down. Jesus says, if you want to be my followers, you deny yourself. You pick up your cross. The last shall be first. Think about what that might look like in our world. Too often, we see Christians wanting to assert power. You must believe this. This is the right way to do this. They want to try to regulate stuff and have people, you know, to say, here, you know, we're going to create all these rules so that we create this godly realm. And when you do it that way, you may be able to force people to do something, but you don't really win their hearts. Jesus says, no, we rule by becoming a servant. We rule by helping others, and we allow them to see the love of Christ and our willingness to sacrifice. That it's not about power and being on top, but it's about being a servant. At times, it means denying ourselves. It means, oh, maybe even though I think I may be right, I need to humble myself and serve my neighbor. I may need to compromise on certain things for the sake of all that God desires. Because it's not my will, it's God's will. How do we live this out? How do we humble ourselves? How do we see that part of it that God is saying that power comes not in strength and might, but in some ways through service and suffering? For new life comes through death. It reverses everything. It turns everything upside down. And I think it challenges us in what it means for us to be the people of God. How do we deny ourselves and walk in a way of service? Because that is the life that Jesus lived. And if it's good enough for Jesus, shouldn't it be good enough for us? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you blessed all of creation with the gift and promise of your Son. Grant to us grace and mercy. We know that you work in mysterious ways. And many times you turn things upside down. For while the world sees weakness, you see strength. While the world sees death, you see life and new possibilities. While the world sees loss, you see salvation and victory. Lead us in the way of discipleship that focuses not upon ourselves, but upon you and the gospel. Empower us to deny ourselves in order to follow you. May the Spirit work in our lives as we seek to live in this radical way. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.